my claims are strong and well-founded. However, the fact that they would use a fraudulent, and it turns out the copy you saw on the internet without the credits, or you didn't see the credits at the end saying it was a mockumentary, doesn't change the fact that these people felt that they needed to give access to the top-level people in all of the world in order to make a joke out of something and not allow the truth stand on its own merits. In fact, they had to come out and make it seem as though anybody who thought the way we think, or I think, is crazy. Now, that's not the point I was trying to make when I brought it up. What I had brought up earlier was the fact that they let out real information themselves and use it as tools to cause other people to think it's not true. And they did that with the chemtrail spraying guy at this called A.J. Griffith. And they did it with the moonshot movies, and they've done it with so many other things. My whole point was to try to point to people to be able to see through the deception of that approach of disinformation. That was my goal. The fact that the idea of the fraudulent moon landing came up was secondary to my conversation. However, that mockumentary does tell me all I need to know about how worried they were about this coming out, and the fact that they would get a man like Kissinger and Rumsfeld, then they call them men, they're not men, they're filthy beasts and monsters, but that they would come out from their hole and crawl out and actually spew the garbage they did, and try to make light of what is known to most people as a fraud. And anybody who's looked into this can't say it otherwise. And I've had so many emails saying I'm an idiot, I'm a fool, I'm this, I'm that. Look, I'm entitled to my opinion. The science I've looked at tells me I'm entitled to it. And not only, it's not my opinion based on some lark. It's my opinion based on what I've seen and what I've studied and what I've looked at and what the science says and what the camera stuff has yielded, and the fact that you know, Hasselblad cameras can't function in a radioactive environment like the moon and so forth. So my point is this. Being duped is not really being duped. They were trying to deceive with the whole presentation to start with and get people away from the idea that you could even rationally take a look at this event.
Well, Dal, you know, it was unfortunate for me that the version that I came across on the internet had been given a different title, had the credits removed, etc., etc. So I watched it, in quotes, in good faith. Had I seen the version of it called Dark Side of the Moon, you would have seen all the opening credit explanations and the stuff at the end. So there are people out there adding to the mischief. But the principle is correct, of course, because as I said at the time, and I still stand by it, photographs have been doctored. That's just a fact. I've one very good friend of mine, he's been on your show before now, Nabil Turner. He's a professional photographer of several decades standing, and he's looked at the photos and confirms unequivocally any photographer who's been a professional and understands about light sources and how they change these things around, that this is real. And then the other thing which is in this mockumentary, which is very important, and it still stands 100%, one of the things that they're trying to cover up to, is where the money got spent. The reality is, Darrell, that money did go into those three states, and that all the technology and all the government funding across all the United States, those federal tax dollars, got filtered down into three areas, which is why they became so wealthy, because there was all the extra cash. So there are things which are truth, which this so-called mockumentary is trying to send up, but in reality what they're trying to do is smear the good evidence with foolishness, so that people don't give credence to the good evidence, which brings us back to Jeff Rentz 9/11 was done by Sasquatch in a UFO. You know, it's, it has exactly the same effect.
Well, it does, and I'm going to tell you, I'm very glad you brought up Jeff Renz. He's actually posting a couple of things from my website on his site for the first time I've ever seen. What the reason for that is, I'm not sure. And here's what Renz does, and I have to say that the reports he gives on the truth are very well done. But then he'll put a story right beside it, with crop circles and giving it validity, or with who got abducted, or will we take vacations to Mars in the next generation, and, stuff that makes my skin crawl. But he then, you know, the guy will then contradict himself completely and do a really bang-up job on presenting facts. Now, this duality, this back and forth, this touching the truth and then running from it with nonsense. What is the point here? What is the reality here? What is he trying to provide here? And what I've tried to do on my website lately is shame the man out of doing the nonsense. Shame on you, if you are truly a truth teller, for putting this horse crap up on your website and thusly destroying all of us in some small way. But, and then, like I said, he'll do an interview with a guy talking about a real issue and ask all the right questions and do all the right stuff. It's mind-boggling, Muhammad, that you could get this kind of schizophrenic reporting on the same website. And I will never adhere to that approach to the truth. And frankly, it makes me feel that this guy is an absolute suspect. When you see that, but then again, a lot of good stuff comes off of his site, and no one that has been working as long as I have will deny that. No one. You've seen very strong, solid reports come out of his website, and then you'll see the most heinous horse manure you've ever seen. I mean, how do you explain this?
Well, he does have some great links and some great information on there, and you know, that stuff does contribute. The problem is this idea of being able to point a stick. I mean, there's nothing wrong if somebody wants to believe in UFOs and a Loch Ness Monster and Sasquatch, but I think that needs to be on a site of its own for fans of that kind of material to be there, because I remember many years ago there was a big conspiracy conference held at Wembley in London, you know, Dal, and the intelligence services did the same thing there. There were people who had very, very important information to share with the world, say about the manufacture of the AIDS virus. That was Dr. Robert Stricker, who just had so many medical qualifications, it was unbelievable. We had a Japanese double PhD chap come over with some video from a US airbase of some anti-gravity technology. And then we had David Pidcock going on there trying to talk about the Zionist bankers and how they were controlling the money supply. And this was about 20-odd years ago. And then in the middle of that, they had people talking about the fact that the Americans had bases on the moon and that people, there was a wind and people were windsurfing on the moon. And David went he came back very, very disenfranchised because he said, you know, we were basically set up because that way the mainstream media could say, you know, these guys are absolutely crazy. They believe in anti-gravity, that AIDS was manufactured, both of which were true. That the Zionist bankers are in control of the world, and that people go windsurfing on the moon. It's just a great way of undermining credibility, and it's a very, very old technique, and this is just the internet version of it. The dark side of the moon is clearly an attempt at the same thing. I would ask you this question, Dal, you know, who gave them the budget to make Dark Side of the Moon? That's a very expensive bit of filming there, because it was made with real film cameras, real actors and actresses, and clippings, professionally put together. A lot of time goes into making a film of that length, 90 minutes or whatever, and all the variant parts which have gone into it, months and months and months in making a normal documentary, one assumes that the same amount of time was spent making that one, a similar sum of money was spent making that one, actors to make voiceovers, etc. Everybody would have been paid. Nobody, they're not doing that like me and you. We're doing this for free, Daryl. But we can't produce that kind of stuff. That was all professionally produced. I ask the question, who's put up a few million dollars for that?
Now that's a very good question. And what you come up with is that they have a huge budget for psyops, and there you go, you know.
Somewhere on the U.S. tax dollars in some clandestine program somewhere, the U.S. public have paid for a film to be made to deceive them. Which is, you know, the farce of modern-day government that we keep complaining about here on the French Connection. We want open, honest government and to set an example for open, honest society. We don't have any of that. It's all agendas. It's all people behaving badly behind the scenes. It's all corruption, stealing tax dollars, and to the extent that Zakheim can walk away with like just stupid amounts of telephone number money missing, and he's not in jail.
Yeah.
Insanity like this, they have, through moving away from this honourable system which you were discussing at the beginning, Daryl, when people say, extreme libertarians, why should we feel ashamed? I'll tell you why. Because the difference between the type of government we used to have and the government today is literally whether those people feel shame for their wrong actions or not. That's how powerful something like shame can be. And that's why the military use it in psyops on the Palestinians when they commandeer their TV systems and try to show them materials to attack the fabric of their families at a time when families need to be together the most, when they're being shelled and bombed and shot at and they need each other. These people are trying to break the bonds of family itself. Who is behind breaking the bonds of family for the last 300 years? Who started the bohemian movement? Who's behind the pornography? Who's behind the film stars? Who's behind moving the classifications? Who's behind labeling filth as art, literally stuff out of the latrine as art? It's the same group.
Yeah.
The same group who also are behind mass murders, etc., etc.
The drug sales, the porn, the white slavery, compromising Armenian massacre, the Zionist murder of the Russians, and then we get involved why are we, you know, Ki Bono, why are we fighting in the Middle East? Who's protecting the heroin trade? Who just robbed our banks? They're all the same. All. They just stole all of our cash. They just robbed all of our freedom. And they've got black op people everywhere. And you know what? It's coming down to a real fist fight battle in the streets, I think. And I mean that figure.
The morality of those people is a shameless morality.
Yes.
Point, Daryl. When we say what's wrong with their belief system, what is at the very core of this is their total. They themselves use it. The term chutzpah, cheek. Their shamelessness. Right? They believe that through shameless acts, through acts which are immoral, the rest of humanity consider immoral. We consider stealing, murder, abuse of children, immoral. They think, no, that's fine, and, your only problem is your belief in morality. So we are set for ultimately confrontation, because they believe the only crime is morality, and we believe that they are committing immorality through their crimes. And the bottom line is, Daryl, we can't, these two types of belief systems can't sit side by side. They are diametrically opposed, and they are destined to a clash.
Well, You know, one of the problems with all the things that we're facing, Muhammad, is trying to maintain the resolve. Of course, you know, people like myself, like you, we're in this now going on years and years of this. And I live and breathe this nonsense, and I wish I didn't have to. And, you know, where we're heading is a darker place than where we are today. And I've said before, and I really don't want to be a killjoy here, but you will never see a good a day as you did today worldwide ever again in your lifetime. We're heading toward darker and darker days as the weeks and months mount. And I don't see any reversal of this unless we get better traction. Now, of course, they've been lying about my statistics for a long time. We know this. We know what they've been doing. If you take a look at all the places on the internet that have mentioned IamTheWitness.com, it comes out to 34,600,000. Now, that's a lot. And if you go into Daryl Bradford Smith, where I show up even in archives, it goes up 7 million in archives and the rest. I mean, so that means that the exposure that I have received worldwide is exponentially larger than what Google and what Yahoo have been reporting and what Alexa tells you. And the footprint that I've made along with my guests such as you and Noel and so many others over the months and years is enormous. And yet they give me the impression, or they give the world the impression, that it's been nominal at best. You want to talk a little bit about your take on that and your recent understanding of what they've been doing?
Well, of course, Dal, this brings us back to another key element of their morality, which is immorality, that, you know, lying is, you know, the way to achieve things. So we have deception from start to end. You know, the Mossad say, you know, their slogan, their motto, by way of deception, etc., etc. Of course, demoralizing, we don't think we're getting anywhere, we don't think anybody's interested in this message. We know that there's a loyal hardcore out there that has grown strongly, and we greatly appreciate that support and that steadfastness and that courage, especially from the people who were listening in the early days, because, you know, it was a very scary stuff back then. It's nice to know, Dal, that we are in the tens of millions in reality, and it's nice to know that they've been trying to hide that from us. Where it takes us back to, examples of their lying and how bad it is, because we look like we're exaggerating and doomsayers sometimes, don't we, Dal? But there's been a couple of marvellous things on the internet about this recently. One, of course, is the true number of repossessions going on in the state of California.
Yes, yes.
One chap has sat down and crunched the numbers, painstakingly gone out there, as Jesus says, seek and you shall find. He got the raw data, added it all up, looked at what the scores on the doors were, and realized that the official number of repossessions on a monthly basis is wrong anywhere between 20 and 30,000. Mean average, more than 20,000 a month. That's an extra 240,000 repossessions. But the way that they prevent this bad news from coming out and people understanding how dire circumstances really are is simply change the numbers. And in the same way, they can change the numbers for how many people have really come into contact with the French Connection. And I make the point, Darrell, also, you might be mentioned in 30-odd million places across the net. That does not tell us how many people have looked at all of those references, which one assumes if just one person alone looked at each one, which doesn't seem feasible to me, and one person put it up there, we're at 72 million already. So I'm very, very, very doubtful about any of the numbers now. I think the reason that we watched Rents and Mike Rivero and even Alex Jones adopt subjects and subject matter that were promoted at the French Connection in the first instance. And I've watched this phenomenon, and all the loyal listeners out there, they've witnessed this phenomenon too. We've highlighted it repeatedly. Something new gets broken through the French Connection. Within 3 or 4 weeks, everybody else is talking about it like everybody knew.
That's right.
Then we do it again. Then we do it again. How do we know the French Connection was driving that? Very simple, Darrell. We didn't see them break something new that wasn't on the French Connection. We didn't find anything new from them about these subject matters. Not topical in the sense of news necessarily. I don't mean the news and recent developments. I'm talking about fundamental principles behind all of this, like who's behind it, not the New World Order, but the Zionists. The very big issues like this that were raised first through French Connection, and then other people adopting it. We now understand that because of the spread of information that's from the French Connection, that they are desperate to try and keep people believing that they're on the same side. They're desperate for that, because they knew the real numbers. We didn't, Darrell. We didn't know the real numbers. They understood how far this information is percolating around the world, into how many countries, into how many cities, into how many computers, how many people are really, really switching onto this in any... Even if they only look at something once, you can't go back.
That's right. Once you're a pickle, you can never be a cucumber again.
That's good. That's the whole point. Once somebody's looked at the French Connection, they can go away and deny it, but they've seen it. They know that this truth is out there. Whether they want to keep coming back, whether they find it addictive, whether they find it informative, whether it frightens the living daylights out of them and they never mention it again, whatever the reaction is, don't matter, because they've become pickles.
There are no take-backs once you know. And see, but the problem is this now. What we've got here, and the last subject before we close this out after an hour and something, is the intelligence services. You know, what I've been hoping for is that our military leadership and that our intelligence services are going to somehow, not in mass, because I don't expect the miracles here, but at least as a movement point, begins to tie themselves to the truth and walk away from the falsehoods that they spread. You know, the people who listen on my phone, Mohammed, and my phone is never unoccupied by somebody listening. It is always listened to. Whether or not it's listened to by more than one organization is a guess I have, but I certainly know it's listened to by one all the time. How is it that a low-level person, probably not from the Zionist community, can do the job they do of chronologizing and coordinating my surveillance and not feel moved by the criminality of the people they work for? And I wonder how long it's going to be before they take a stand against them, or if they ever will. You know, I do this. The fact that I'm still alive tells me that somehow, either, and you know, you would believe this more readily than I would, that there might be some divine reason that I'm being kept alive, or maybe they're you know, there's just some people at the top that aren't allowing me to get taken out. I don't know. But the fact is that the intelligence services need to start migrating away from the gang and into the camp of truth. And we need this to happen in a cascade at some point. But the trickle has to turn to a flow. And we're not even at a trickle yet. We've got to see movement in these intelligence services, Mohammed.
They are public servants. They are servants of the public. They are not chattels of government. Government does not own them. Government is owned by the people in most countries in the world and all of the West. They are there supposedly to protect us and protect our way of life and to keep us safe from harm. We are very happy for them to receive handsome salaries and handsome pensions on that basis. Failure to do that, one day, I'll give them one more warning here, Dowell, an important one. One day, because this is going to reach a crescendo, it's still growing, one day we will be facing truth and reconciliation in the West. And the first people that will be looking at that noose for crimes against the state, i.e. treachery, treason, will be the media. But second up will be those people who had access to this criminal behaviour against the people that they're supposed to be protecting, that they are being paid. We don't care what your boss says. Your salary is from the people. You are paid by the people to protect us and our families. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And we are saying to you, you've got the salary, do what you're supposed to be doing. It doesn't matter what your boss says. They can all, you can become a free agent in this because it's what you're due to do. And if you don't, one day, I might not be alive to see it, you might not be alive, Darryl, but these people will face a truth and reconciliation. And when they do, there will be no mercy at all. It will only be justice. So I recommend that if you start doing your own personal covert ops of leaking documents, sending things, making your own websites, doing a bit of a Jovials, whatever it takes, you know, imagination, go out there and start doing that. At least you've got something that you can use in your own defense when that truth and reconciliation comes out. Because you can say, officially I wasn't doing this, but morally I did it because I knew this is what I was being paid to do, to protect people and to serve the country and serve the people and serve the families and look, protect those families and protect that value system. So acting that way, you can keep all your own records somewhere hidden, spy-like, as spies do, well, no doubt, and actually have something that you can use as defense material. If you don't do anything, you won't have any defense material, and you are, in fact, guilty.
That's right.
Fraud in the first instance. Taking money to do a job you're not doing.
Yeah. Well, Mohammed, last thing I'm going to mention here is that my donations have dried up to not a trickle, to nothing. And recently I've been making calls to Argentina, and I have another one coming up this week for an hour. Going to support that myself, and I could use the help. I really could. I understand everybody's in a tough spot, so am I, but I'm trying to do this stuff on a daily basis, and I need your help. I need the people's help, Mohammed. I put up an article on the website about Alex Jones raising 350,000 euros or dollars, I mean, and the interesting thing about it is that immediately after that, it comes out that George Soros is financing all of the disinfo, and made me scratch my head and say, when I have a website only one-tenth the size of Alex Jones, which in itself is interesting, but one-tenth of 350,000 would be 35,000. I haven't even got 35 euros coming in. Now, that tells me something very, very clear to me that, one, I'm not getting the support from my listeners, or two, they're not allowing the money to get to me, or three, maybe everybody's in the same boat with me and going down the tubes here trying to finance the fight. They do know that I am a man of limited resources. Everyone knows that who knows me personally. They know it. They know I'm sitting up in a loft somewhere trying to fight this fight. That's a fact of life. And, Mohammed, you've helped me personally a couple of times in the last couple of years when you knew I was right on the verge of not being solvent. The fact is, that's the way it goes. And if people want to keep this message going, I need the help. And it's a continuing thing. It's not. I don't get much. I get 20 here, 20 there. Sometimes I get 100 from somebody, which is amazing. And I'll mention a name, Thomas and Tak from Hawaii and some other people. But very infrequently and small sums. I don't want to be. I don't want to make money at this. In fact, I will never allow myself to make money at this. I don't put ads on my site, Mohammed. I don't have a whole line of Jewish advertisers like like Alex Jones, and I never will. The fact is, this is a pure play French Connection. We do work here to save the world from suffering, and I need help. That's what I'm going to say at the end of this. What do you think?
Well, Darrell, you know, I am fully aware of your personal circumstances. I'm aware of the fact that you have your own small holding there, and that sometimes the only way that you have food on the table is the fact that you've grown it, and you haven't really mentioned that much, but I'm aware of that, that if it wasn't for your own produce on occasions, you've actually kept the radio show going with the little bit of cash that you have had, and eaten from your own garden to keep this thing going. So it is very genuine, there's no doubt about that. I have on occasion, when a little bit of money's come in, been able to put some money over, but you are also aware of my circumstances,
yep.
which
yep.
I don't discuss very often, but a little bit of insight there for some of the people listening, because I've been involved in this for such a long time. These people did in fact destroy my career, and they have put a block on anywhere. The places where I did used to work, I haven't worked in full-time employment for over 7 years now. They managed to get to the various agencies that pre-check people who work at banks and tell them that I'm not desirable as an employee and I'm on a blacklist because I've gone out and blown the whistle on their activities. So I've paid the price, and on the few occasions where I've had something spare, I always do try to help out at the French Connection, because it is the pure play, and I'm aware of that, having been involved for such a long time. What would be helpful right now, I think, Darrell, is that if people have been sending funds, and we've just out of interest this, and that things may have been intercepted, it would be helpful if they could create some new email accounts, not their normal ones, and send some emails into you stating that, you know, I sent $5, I sent $10 or €20 or whatever, and on a particular date, and then you could do a bit of a tally up. So if people, we understand people are all suffering at the moment, it is tough out there, but if people have sent money and they believe that it should have been received, then please let us know so that we can try and track this kind of conduct.
Well, you know, there was a time, Mohammed, a year ago, 18 months ago, if I asked for some assistance to get some things done, I got a computer system here after mine was fried by how, I don't know, and I got a phone system put in here so I would have the ability to wear a headset and and have a mixing board and things of this nature and actually do things a little bit more professionally. And this was after I had spent a great deal of my own money on ISDN lines and the rest of it. But the fact is, that has ended. That has gone to not only a trickle, but almost to a full stop. Now, you know, I understand what people are going to understand, and they can take solace in, is that as we descend into this abyss, I'm going with you, financially at least. I certainly won't be going there in my resolve, because I'm going to fight these people with my last breath. But certainly, I'm feeling the pain along with everybody else. But this is not about me feeling the pain with everybody else. This is about me keeping these broadcasts going. I want to get a call into Salbucci for an hour over in Argentina, and I'm paying full rate for that. I did a phone call interview on a cell phone to Southern California the other day. There, I have no deal to a cell phone in America. I have none. I had to pay full price. There are calls I make all day. How often do I call you, Mohammed, in a week? 2, 3, 4 times sometimes. I'm calling all of my contacts like that constantly, and my phone bills are off the charts. That's just a fact. But you know what? I couldn't do what I do unless I made all these inquiries. That's what I have to do to keep up on this. And even with that, I'm still underinformed. Everybody's still working from a blind spot, including myself. But it's just a reminder for people. I just want to remind them. You know, I'm not trying to bleed anybody. I just need some help. That's all. And I appreciate it if they would do something about it. Really, Mohammed. Thank you. I know you got lots of stuff that you're doing over there, and I'm grateful to you for taking the time here today. You know, we've spent over an hour and 15 minutes here going on this information, and I'm grateful to you this Sunday afternoon, evening, I mean.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Darrell. It's always a pleasure. And, you know, I am myself grateful for the opportunities, and I'm very grateful for the work you've done. And I'm very grateful to Almighty God for bringing what I consider to be Him, bringing the reality of how far our message has gone. He's had full sight of it all along, and He's encouraged us to keep going in the ignorance that we've had about the extent of the percolation of this information. And it's something for all the regular listeners out there to rejoice in. We are winning the information war, and it's only a question of time now that we're getting close to a critical mass. The other guy's going to go down. We're still swinging.
Yeah, and I'll never stop. I'll go down with my last breath, Mohammed. Thank you so much, my friend.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, until the next time, please take care of your families. You know, tend your garden, tend your families as though it were your garden. And until the next time, this is Darrell Bradford Smith telling you all, please, be well.